Now, Paul in chapter 2 is showing that God will judge self-righteous people and religious people. May I say to you that the man on top of the hill looks down at the man at the bottom of the hill and he says something should be done for that poor fella. We ought to start a mission down there. We ought to start giving him soup and clothes and a shower bath. But I'm living on top of the hill and I don't need anything. You don't? The wall and the hurdle is as high on top of the hill as it is at the bottom of the hill. And the man at the bottom of the hill can get over it just as easy as you can. And the chances are he'll see his need and you won't. May I say to you, religious people, self-righteous people, so-called good people need a Savior. And Paul is going to put down here 6 great principles by which God is going to judge so-called good people. He says here in chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing." Now, this, by the way, is the very important issue in this chapter. Chapter 1 had revealed the unrighteousness of man. Now, chapter 2 reveals the self-righteousness of man. And it's well to keep in mind here that Paul is not talking about salvation. He's talking about sin and the basis on which God will judge men. These 6 principles of judgment are not the basis of salvation. It's the basis of judgment. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to come up and under them. I thank God for a Savior today. And Scripture presents the gospel as the only means of obtaining eternal life. To reject the Son of God immediately brings upon a person the judgment of God, and the only verdict here is guilty. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And then listen to the Lord Jesus after that marvelous, wonderful John 3:16. And we generally stop that, but he says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That's John 3:36. So that these are lost today that do not have Christ. And you may be a religious person, may be a good person, but without Christ, my friend, you're lost. And now he says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." The word man here is anthropy. It's the generic term. It can mean both men and women. It includes both Jew and Gentile and refers to mankind in general. Mankind, whosoever thou art, that judges. Now he passes now from the general to that which is specific. From that which is the mass to the person. And he addresses any person of the human race, but he limits it to those that judge others. Now, the word here for judge carries the thought of judging with the idea of an adverse verdict. It can be whosoever thou art that condemnest another. Therefore, that raises the question, what should be the attitude of a believer today toward this awful, horrible group that are mentioned here? In Romans 1, it should be this. We should want them to get saved, and we should try to get the gospel to them, that they are poor, lost creatures. And I think we should be able to use the words of the old hymn, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. And my friend, that should be our attitude, wanting their salvation, but making it very clear that they need to be saved and need to be delivered from this gross perversion and immorality today. Now, the very interesting thing is that we may get the wrong impression here. It says, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. The word is auto. We get from that automobile and things like that. What he means here by the same things, he does not mean identical things, but things that are just as bad in God's sight as the things done in awful depravity by the heathen and the lost, and are offensive to the cultured and refined sinner. Now, here is the thing that he's saying, simply this. You that sit in judgment on these people, how many people today, they can tell you that Hitler, I heard a man who's not saved say that he didn't believe that hell could be heated hot enough for that man. My friend, he's sitting in judgment. He's taking the place of God. He says he doesn't think Hitler is fit to live. And there are a great many people that condemn today the communists, and they condemn the radicals. And I'd rather join you there, by the way. But may I say to you, we're doing the same thing, and we are guilty of doing the same thing. And somebody says, wait a minute, I don't do those things. May I say to you, you today are sitting in judgment on those that are not on your plane. You use the society's standard, and it varies, by the way. And if somebody doesn't come up to the standard of your little group, believe me, you'll condemn them. I know a lot of the saints, if a man walked in with a cigarette in his mouth, they'd consign him to the lowest regions of hell. That to them is worse than gossiping, and it's worse than being dishonest. And I know some fundamental churches where you can get by being a liar, you can get by being a gossip, you can get by being dishonest, but you can't get by smoking a cigarette. They condemn you. The fact that you judge other people, you are assuming that position. Now, God is saying, by the same token that you have the right to judge other people that don't measure up to your standard, God has the right to judge you by His standard, not your standard. And therefore, God judges by His standard. A great many folk think that they're well-pleasing to God. Someone has put it like this, if we could see ourselves like God sees us, we couldn't even stand ourselves. We are obnoxious. We are repugnant. We are lost sinners. What contribution can you and I make to heaven? Will we adorn the place? I get the impression from some people that my heaven's going to be a better place when they get there. This earth hasn't been a better place because they've been here. You try to deny to God the same privilege that you have of sitting in judgment on others. My friend, God is going to judge you. And He won't judge you by your standard or the standard by which you are judging others, but by His standard. Does that begin to move you? It ought to, because I found out I can't come up to His standard.